Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the GSL Podcast. This is Season 1, Episode 9. My name is Wendell. I'll be flying solo today, trying to do maybe a little bit of a quicker podcast just to bring everyone into the long weekend break. Hopefully, all of you are listening to this on your ride up to your cottage or your friend's place, and you're getting ready for a nice long weekend. That being said, we have a lot to get into, including some great match recaps, some predictions going forward, as well as some information on next week's episode. So without further ado, let's jump right into the news. First up, I wanted everyone to know that next week's episode will be the mid-season review. I actually recorded that episode about a week ago, so not all the statistics will be completely up to date, but it'll be a general picture of what the season looked like at around the halfway point, and going team by team, in-depth analysis on what's happened so far and what they can look forward to. So that'll be next week's episode after the long weekend. So look forward to that. It's a great episode. Next up, we received an email from Everest, the president of the GSL, about the first Toronto Police Challenge Cup. I'm not sure if you received this email or not, but it's apparently associated with Viva Goa. And what they're doing is there's an exhibition game between the GSL and the Toronto Police team. So I'm not sure about the Toronto Police team, how that works, who's on this team, as far as how they pick their players and things like that. But as far as the GSL goes, they're taking the first place team, which is Lotlim, and getting them to play them. So I think that's great representation for the GSL, because obviously Lotli is undefeated right now, ranked number one and having the best season. So one could argue they'll be the best representation of the GSL at this point in time. And they'll be playing the Police, which I find kind of funny, because I really want to see how honorable the Police players are. Like, are they, if a policeman goes in for a dirty tackle, is that really part of the character of a policeman? Or are they really gonna be like sticklers for the rules, like, you know, 10 yards for a free kick and measuring it out and things like that, because they're used to following the law? Really curious to how policemen play. Now, I know what most of you are thinking, 99% chance they will abandon all police instincts and just turn into another soccer team that's like super competitive and argues with the ref on every call, but you never know. Maybe that's not the way they go. So information on that game, it's at 10:30 a.m. on August 6th, and it's at the Croatian Recreational Park at Mississauga Road in Eglinton. So I highly encourage everyone to come out, support the GSL team, Lotlim. Obviously, we don't support them during the year, during the season. But I think for this game, we got to come out, support them, give them our best, and hopefully they can take down the policemen.
You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail.
So we received some fan mail from Jeremy Pinto from Colva. He wanted to clarify the loan agreement for Andrew Fernandez to Aguada. So Jeremy writes that it wasn't actually a loan agreement from Colva to Aguada. Basically what happened is Andrew was unable to commit to the entire season to Colva and wanted to go on more of a game-by-game basis. But Colva's rule is more you have to commit for the entire season, and they wanted a full-time commitment. So because Andrew wasn't able to give this, he wasn't able to play with them. But Aguada, who's been struggling for players, did offer him to just play game by game, pay game by game. So as a result, he joined Aguada. So just some clarification that Jeremy sent in. Thanks for the mail. And it's good to, it kind of shines some clarity on that move, because a lot of people were kind of curious as to why that happened, because Andrew has been a longtime Colva member. But I guess it makes a little bit more sense now.
You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got.
That's right. Even more fan mail. This one coming from Krife Dos Remedios. Many of you will remember on the last podcast, I gave a public service announcement to someone from Aguada or Krife himself to explain this whole wisdom tooth situation, hashtag wisdom tooth game, similar to the flu game. And I told you, as a maxillofacial surgeon, I questioned the ability of someone to have their wisdom teeth out that day and then play in a soccer game. Definitely not medically advised. So Krife actually contacted me on Facebook. He said that he had his wisdom teeth out not that day, but on Thursday, so about 4 days before. Once again, as a medical professional, I cannot advise this type of behavior. I understand, you know, we all want to play in the games, but having your wisdom teeth out and then playing 4 days later is just too risky, I think. But it goes to show Christ's dedication to the game. I actually asked him for comment as to why he played in the game and why he played in the last 15 minutes. And he responded, quote, "We were tied and we needed to win," end quote. And to his credit, he came on and delivered the cross that led to their goal. So they went up 1-0 as soon as he came on, which is great. But then unfortunately, a few minutes later in the last minute of the game, Mopsa scored to tie it 1-1. So ironically, the game ended a tie. But anyways, hashtag WisdomTooth game. It'll definitely go down as one of the most committed performances in the GSL this season. All right, that's it for the news. Keep sending in your fan mail and you might get a shout out on the show. And let's jump into match recaps. We have a lot of matches to recap, so we'll jump in with the July 20th midweek game between Donna Paula and Aguada at Victoria Park Stadium in Brampton. This was a great game, tons of chances. Sippy wrote a great match report on it, and the game ended 1-1. Amazing result for Donna Paula, especially since they went down a goal within 15 minutes. Once again, Lester Fernandez scoring again. I think regular listeners of the show will realize that almost every episode I'm talking about Lester Fernandez because he's having a great season and just keeps scoring goals for them. So big props to him. But bigger props to Donna Paula, once again, grinding on a result. I mean, it'd be nice if they got a couple more victories under their belt, but they're staying competitive. They're in almost every game they've played so far, and tying Aguada 1-1 with all the talent Aguada has is a great result. Goals were scored by Lester Fernandez from Aguada within 15 minutes. And then off a free kick, Rowe hit Nazareth with a great header to put the ball in the back of the net and get his team back in the game. So a great, great game for Donna Paula, and Aguada will probably walk away thinking it's 3 points lost. Next up, we have on the Sunday, starting off with Kolva and Lotlim, with Lotlim winning 2-0. Once again, another victory for Lotlim and another clean sheet, so they continue their impressive defensive run as well as their offensive prowess. I actually watched the majority of this game, and Kolva was generating a lot of chances. And even Lotlim themselves said Kolva had a ton of chances to score, but just didn't bury the ball in the back of the net. Lotlim capitalized on a couple of their very few chances with Nick Da Silva and Nicholas Green scoring the second goal. So another victory by Lotlim. This was a game that their captain, Ron Montero, said he was worried that they might take it lightly because they had just beaten Margo the week before. And now they're playing Kolva, who they've already beaten early in the season. So they were worried that their team wouldn't come out in full strength. But once again, grinding on another result. As far as Kolva goes, they played actually very well and generated a lot of chances. But once again, you could just tell the lack of organization between the two teams. It was amazing to see on Lotlim, when someone would get the ball, usually they would have one or two voices telling them where to pass or where to go. It was kind of like a unified message. Where on Kolva's, you know, a guy would get the ball and he'd pass it, or there'd be a lot of miscommunications and a lot of misunderstanding between teammates where to run or where to pass. So I think that's just because Kolva is still a relatively new team with their younger talent, and that chemistry will develop over time. But a good performance from Kolva, but they just couldn't get a result against the number one team in the league. Next up, we have Aldana versus Margao. We as Aldana headed into this game still winless, still hoping to get a result. And if you're going to get a result, what better team to get against the struggling Margao this season? And the game started off very evenly matched. Margao didn't have a lot of subs, so that was one thing we were trying to exploit by running them up and down, getting them tired. And it seemed to be working in the sense that we had a lot of possession. Not many chances, but definitely a lot of possession. But about 30 minutes into the game, Margao got a penalty shot off a handball in the box. It was the correct call. But it was really unfortunate because it was against the play of the game, and Dwayne Loba Perez stepped up and buried it. So they went up 1-0. After this, in the second half, it was pretty back and forth. But for the last about 20 minutes, we were really, really pressing hard, just kind of getting chances, but no clear-cut goal-scoring opportunities. And we just really couldn't get a goal. But in the 87th minute, Richard Fernandez took the ball in the 18, turned a guy, and just blasted it. And it went top left corner, off the post and in. And just an amazing goal, and we were going nuts, 1-1, just right at the end of the game. So we were all really happy, and we were really celebrating a lot. And then about 1 minute later, Margot went the other side of the field, chipped in from Nickel and Dwayne Loba Perez, beautiful header over the goalie into the back of the net, and they won the game 2-1. This was just absolutely devastating. I mean, as much as Margot has been struggling this year, they're still like second or third place, whereas we have yet to get a victory. And the fact that we scored solo in the game to earn a tie, it still wasn't ideal because we want to win, but it's still better than losing yet another game. And it was strange because Margot seemed out of the game for the last 20 minutes, but as soon as we tied the game, they suddenly woke up and were fully pressing. And you could just tell that we were struggling to get to the end of the game and just end with the 1-1 tie. So super heartbreaking goal from Dwayne Loba Perez, but a very nice header by him, and Margot gets a victory 2-1. Finally, on the other side, we had Donna Paula versus Mopsa. GSL Insider reports that this was a close game and not too many chances created, but in the end, Mopsa managed to win 1-0. And once again, I don't have the goal score from Mopsa, and it's not, I have nothing against Mopsa, but it's just the league has not updated the website. And even though they've updated some of the games, it's like they never update the Mopsa games with who scored. So I still don't know who scored from Mopsa, but they got the victory 1-0, which is great for them. They really needed this victory to get them out of last place. So a crucial goal for them. And as for Donna Paula, disappointing after a great result versus Aguada. They played someone at a similar level in the standings right now and weren't able to get a result. So I'm sure that was a little bit of a setback for them, and they wish that they had gotten a better result there. That's it for the Sunday's games, which leads us to yesterday, Tuesday, July 26th, midweek game between Aldana and Kolva. That's right, Aldana finally wins a game, beating Kolva 3-1. This was an amazing game full of tons of interesting points to go through, so I'm going to try and speed through them as fast as I can. The game was very even from the beginning with both teams going back and forth, but about 25 minutes into the game, Elton Fernandez with a beautiful through ball to Calvin Rosario, who took it down the left side and just blasted the ball past the goalie off the inside of the crossbar and down for the opening goal of the game, 1-0. This was a huge team boost to take the lead, but you could tell that Kolva did not drop their heads. They weren't out of this game, and about 10 minutes later, they had some beautiful passing. Now, when it comes to Kolva, obviously I've ripped on their center mids a lot, you know, for some of their flamboyant moves and things like that, but it cannot be understated. These three guys are going to be the future of this team. We have Aaron, Denzel, and Johnny Van Dreen in the middle, and the three of them have this great rotation system where they play in a triangle, but they're never in set positions. They're always running left, running right, running back, running forward, so it's very difficult to guard against. We had three center midfielders against them, and it was very hard to keep track of them, so full credit to them for their play. And what they did on this play is Johnny Van Dreen pretty much ran down with the ball, passed it to Aaron, passed it back to Denzel, passed it back to Aaron, passed it across to their forward, and he buried in the back of the net. So a really impressive goal. It was kind of like ticky-tack all over the place, and it left our defense stranded. So they tied up the game 1-1 right away, which was a little bit disheartening. But the game continued on, kept getting chances back and forth, and about 5 minutes to go before the end of the half, Richard Fernandez on Aldana, who's having a great season so far, ran down the entire right wing, beating a couple people, shooting on the goalie, who made a nice save above him, but Ian D'Souza, with the follow-up, ran up, jumped, and headed it over the Kolva defender to take the lead 2-1 heading into the half. So this was a huge morale boost, taking the lead yet again, rather than crumbling at the sight of, you know, a 1-1, another tie, or another loss. So big goal from Ian to give us the lead again. It should be noted that Kolva had a ton of chances in the first half, and it brought out some ridiculous saves from Aldana's goalkeeper, Ryden Pereira. Now, for those of you that don't know, Ryden is actually the third choice goalkeeper on Aldana, and he used to be a full-time goalkeeper for Aguada, but he fell out of love with the position and wanted to play out more, so he came to Aldana, and we promised him, you'll pretty much play out every game you can unless we're missing our goalies, and we were missing our first two goalies, so Ryden stepped up, went in net, and made some ridiculous saves. Most notable was in the first half, once again, those three center mids had some more tiki-taka play and led to right in front of the net with Aaron D'Souza hitting it to the goalie's left side. But Ryden kicked out his left foot, made an unbelievable save to keep the game at 2-1. And that was huge because maintaining that lead was really, really important going into the half. In the second half, once again, very even back and forth, chances both ways, both goalies making some good saves. But then with about 15 minutes left in the game, Ethan Fernandez off the bench for Aldana took the ball on the left side, beat the defender, cut inside, and just shot the ball top right corner. An absolutely beautiful goal to take the team to 3-1. And at this point, we felt very confident that we'd be getting our first victory. This is a great story to show what subs can do off the bench. Ethan so far has been a role player in the sense that he only comes on for more limited minutes, but with an injury plagued Alt on the team, he came off the bench, played great on the left side, and contributed an absolutely crucial goal just to kill the game. So just goes to show, even if you're on the bench, even if you're a sub, if you step up when you get your minutes, you can always prove to the coach that you deserve more time or that you deserve to be in the game or have kind of a breakthrough moment. So huge props to him for that. At 3-1, I think both teams kind of realized that the game was mostly over, but Kolva still pressed trying to get that second goal for their team. And myself, I was playing in the central midfield against those three guys I mentioned, and I just got to take a moment to say, Johnny Van Dreen, this kid is unbelievable. I was tasked with guarding for some periods of the games, and he was just too quick. I was falling down on the floor, and actually with 10 minutes to go, trying to defend him and sprint after him, I pulled my hamstring. So, you know, there's always that saying, like, the guy was so good at dribbling that he broke the guy's ankles. Well, in this case, he was so good, he pulled my hamstring. So thanks a lot for that, Johnny Van Dreen. I'm on the ice bath and recovery mode now, thanks to you. But huge game from him. And what was kind of funny was after the game, he approached me and said, "Hey, Wendell, I just want to introduce myself. My name's Johnny." So obviously he's listened to the podcast and realized that as much as I've been trash talking him, I've actually never even met him. So huge classy move of him to come to me after a loss, you know, introduce himself with class. So this kid's got a bright future. This whole Kolva team, I'm telling you, it's all young kids and huge talent, huge stamina, very, very quick team. As I've said before, all they're missing is kind of a central leader or someone to organize them or guide them a little bit better. But they have a bright future. Almost their entire team is very young players, even the players coming off the bench. So they're definitely a team for the future. And as much as we always talk about Aldana and having never won a championship, Kolva's actually never won a championship either. So it's going to be interesting to see which team develops faster, which team develops better, and who's able to get their first championship first. So a little bit of friendly rivalry there. Also, I just want to mention the highlight of the game was with about 5 minutes left in the game, one of the Kolva players was in the box and shot it on net and it was going in, but it hit the reigning defensive MVP, Jason D'Souza, in the face and it went down. He tried to clear it, but he actually kicked it right back to the same Kolva player who one time blasted at the net and it hit Jason D'Souza in the face again. So a double face save by Jason D'Souza. Everyone was kind of cracking up in the middle of the game. So was really, really funny to watch. A little bit of a shout out to Jason for his putting his face on the line for his team. True MVP caliber right there. No recap against Kolva would be complete without a little bit of trash talk. So, you know, I praise the central midfielders a ton and given them a lot of credit. So hopefully they'll be happy with that. But Jason Diaz, you know, a little bit silent after the game. You know, I was going for the handshake. Wasn't really able to look me in the eye. Wasn't able to approach me. So I think Jason's a little bit shy now after that, giving us our first win. But no, don't worry about it. You're still ahead of us in the table, and maybe we'll catch up to you by the end of the season. So a little bit of a shout out to Jason here. All right, that's it for match recaps. Let's look ahead to some predictions. Just a couple matches to predict. First off, we have tonight, Aguada versus Mopsa in the Brampton Stadium. This is a match I predict that Aguada will win. Obviously, they're coming off a disappointing result, having tied Don Apollo 1-1 a week ago. But I think as long as they have their full team, they should be able to beat Mopsa. I think it'll be a pretty close score, but I do predict Aguada will win this game tonight. So this game is actually a lot more important than it sounds because it has large implications at both sides of the table. Aguada's in second place right now, but Margao is slowly catching up to them. And as far as Mopsa goes, with Aldana winning its first game, Mopsa is now back in last place on goal differentials. So they really need to try and get off the bottom of the table. Even with the tie, they'd be able to do that. So actually a pretty important game for both teams heading into the long weekend break. Next week on August 4th, we have a mouth-watering clash between Margao and Lotolim. I'm going to predict a Margao victory for a number of reasons. The first reason is my GSL Insider reports that Neil Da Silva will be away for this game. So that's a huge loss to Lotolim. Even though they previously beat Margao without Neil, I think Margao will come into this game really hungry for a victory. And the second reason is that Margao is the only team to have a perfect season before to win every single game. So they want to remain as the only team in history to do that. They don't want to give Lotolim that honor. So I think they have a really big motivation to either tie or win the game. But I'm going to predict actually that Margao will win this game and Lotolim's perfect season will come to an end. That's it for match predictions. I just wanted to let you all know that thanks to your support, the SoundCloud account, I got a notification saying that in order to keep putting on episodes, I have to actually upgrade the account and pay for a pro account. So what that means for you guys is that the episodes will be available all year round, and you can actually download them now. It allows up to 1,000 downloads for an episode. So if you want to download the episode to your computer or phone or whatever to listen at a different time, you can do that now. You don't have to have internet access to listen to the episode. So definitely check that out. Thanks for your continued support. All right, that's it for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. As always, please do contact me with your thoughts, feedback, or any ideas you have. Also, a shout out to any players or fans looking to be on the Pecora Round 3. We have some people that have messaged in. We're always looking for more contestants. And don't forget, the prize this year is a brand new, 100% authentic, any international or club soccer jersey of your choice with a custom name and number. So huge prize to win just for being on a trivia show. Thanks to Frank from AC Soccer for his sponsorship. So make sure you email or contact me, thegslpodcast@gmail.com. If you know or want to nominate someone to be on the show, even if you nominate someone else, I'll contact them to see if they want to do it. But there's a lot of players out there that might have a lot of GSL knowledge that I'm not aware of. So definitely email in and tune in next week for a brand new episode.